Welcome to the Forum on your Tally Broadcasting Stations. I'm David Jenkins. My guest this weekend is State Senator Annie Menar.
2017 was a big year for you and for the General Assembly with things that went on positively and negatively. First of all, when do you guys rejoin in session?
The Senate comes back in at the end of the month, end of the month of January, and then we have a full schedule until our scheduled, which is our normal adjournment date, May 31st. The most important date in between those two points in time is, in my opinion, February 14th, which is the date that Governor Rauner is charged with presenting his budget request to the General Assembly for our consideration.
For the budget, a big thing coming up, but what are some of the other things that maybe you've got coming up on the horizon for this year that you can see in the General Assembly now that last year's budget stalemate has been resolved and the school funding seems to be resolved as well?
I think it's important to note that this week, actually, the school funding reform bill goes into effect. So school districts this month will, for the first time in, I would say, nearly three decades, are going to be receiving money in an equitable way from the state. So our school districts will be seeing the benefit of that law that took 5 years to get passed in a bipartisan way. I was proud to sponsor it. Our school districts should be seeing the positive impact of that this month. Moving forward to this session, though, I think we have to address the teacher shortage issue. It's a critical issue for school districts locally. This is not a problem up in the suburbs of Chicago, but it's a problem in downstate. Nearly every district that I represent, there are empty classrooms, and there is also, unfortunately, a very difficult circumstance with substitute teachers. I think there's many reasons for this. Some are very deep, but there's also regulatory reasons at the State Board of Education where I think the bureaucracy's gone too far in terms of teacher licensure. So we've been taking a look at that. Senator Bertino Tarrant, who is my colleague and chairs the Senate Education Committee, she and I have started to work together to try to put a piece of legislation together that can reform that process that would lead to a more streamlined licensure process for teachers. I think that will help downstate districts first and foremost, because it's very clear to me that this crisis in the state is full-blown in downstate Illinois, and the state government needs to change its ways so that we can address it.
Is this something that's been kind of relegated to Illinois only, or has it been happening around the country? Because I feel like it's a nationwide thing.
Yeah, it is a nationwide challenge. More profound in some parts of the country than others, much like in Illinois. As I said earlier, up in suburban Chicago, the issue is nowhere near as profound as it is here, mm-hmm. if it's existent at all. But right. We can go to any school district in Macoupin, Montgomery, and Christian counties, and you can talk to any principal or superintendent, and they will tell you, among funding, number one, which again, we're going to see the benefits of our reform bill set into motion this month. Number two is the lack of qualified applicants to fill classroom vacancies. And every year it gets worse and worse. And for too many years, the state of Illinois hasn't responded. I think it's because small downstate rural districts don't get the attention that they deserve in Springfield. That's one thing we tried to change with the school funding debate, was to say that our kids are just important as everybody else's kids.
Sure.
And so our classrooms are no different. When we have empty classrooms in Taylorville, for example, or in Bunker Hill, that should be at the forefront of the discussion in Springfield, much like it would be if it was Chicago, for example. Our classrooms are just as important.
Forgive me if I'm going to make you repeat yourself, but what are maybe some of the things legislation could do to maybe help combat the shortage?
I think there's any number of things, and on this point, interestingly, they don't have to do with each other, actually. Okay. So I'll give you a couple. Number one, Illinois, when teachers come from other states, maybe they're a trailing spouse because a job move. This happens up in Decatur and Christian County quite a bit with ADM and Caterpillar, where someone will come to work and their spouse is a teacher, and it's nearly impossible. And I mean that. It is nearly impossible for their certification to transfer to Illinois. I have an example. I talked to a constituent in Decatur who had taught in Iowa for 22 years, was by all accounts a successful teacher, still is not certified today in Illinois, and she's been working at it for 2 years. That's unacceptable.
Yeah.
That's one thing. So we need to make that process easier. Number two, I think that we also have to make sure that we have a recruitment effort in Illinois. So in high schools, you know, we need to do a better job of identifying students that will make good teachers and mm-hmm. be successful in the classroom. We spend tens of millions of dollars on this statewide effort, but for whatever reason, downstate is left out of that equation, and we have a whole lot of programs that don't coordinate very well together. So we can use that money better so that we get the best prospective teachers into teacher education courses in college and then successfully graduate and get into a needy classroom in sure. a downstate district. Third thing is retention. We have a high burnout rate in Illinois. I think there's many reasons for that. If you look at underfunded districts, of course, the burnout rate is much higher than in wealthy districts.
Right.
That's an underlying issue with funding in the state. So I think we have to have retention efforts, and I think that's going to take a little bit of work on the part of downstate legislators to work in a bipartisan way to join forces so that we can go to Springfield and say, hey, we got a problem. We need to retain good teachers so they're not burnt out. Those are just three things, David. There's many. I've had meetings with teachers all over the district. It's been interesting for me to hear their perspective. I don't make these public, but I've sat down with teachers for hours and hours and hours over the last 4 months and to hear their stories and their challenges, but also their inspiration on why they are teachers and the successes they see with kids right in our backyard. It's, for me, it's very helpful then to take that message to Springfield as the person who has the privilege of representing us in the state Senate.
Sure, sure. And this could take some time to get this passed because it sounds like it's just in the beginning stages of getting worked on. Well.
Yeah, it is. And I should also note that the State Board of Education, a few months ago, because we pushed the Rauner administration to recognize this is a challenge. It may not be a challenge in Chicago. It's a challenge here.
Right.
It's a crisis here. We sent a letter, members of the Senate sent a letter to the State Board of Education, who kicked off a year-long studying session, is what they called it, one-year studying session. We sent them a letter saying, you don't need a year to study this. We have to address this and begin to address this right now because our districts here can't wait.
Right.
There will be more vacancies next year in local school districts because of many of the things that I just mentioned and many others, by the way. So we asked the state board to shorten their so-called study session, mm-hmm. which sounds overly bureaucratic to me, down to March 1st. So we're hoping that they produce some statistics for us on March 1st that will help us get something past the spring. I think this is going to be multiple years worth of work. But for example, the licensure process from other states, there's examples in local districts where successful teachers from other states move to our area and cannot teach in a classroom. We can fix that this year.
I do want to talk to you a little bit about this. You said you may be there. The ICC is holding a hearing coming up in Hillsborough on January 16th at the Montgomery County Historic Courthouse just about the downstate energy plants, specifically the Coffeen Power Plant. I know there has been some legislation introduced, and they're going to have representatives from Dynegy at the hearing, talking with the public a little bit. But you said it's more probably for the public and Dynegy to be talking than legislators to get involved.
Yeah, I've weighed in on this multiple times. I tend to shy away from regulatory matters because I don't think that's the role of legislators. I've made my opinion clear with the Commerce Commission and with others. The bill that's in the Senate is being sponsored by Senator Claiborne, from East St. Louis and from St. Clair County, a very able-bodied representative that can move this issue along uh-huh. in the Senate. So I'm confident that working with him, we can get this done. Step away from just the importance of caffeine for a moment. We have a larger issue in the state, which is what I try to stress with my colleagues, even from the northern part of the state, is that if for whatever reason we can't get this right and the southern part of the state over the next several years begins to produce less power and
right.
power generation goes down, we have a broad economic problem that's going to touch the economy of northern Illinois. So
yeah.
we are one state and we have to make that case. At the same time, our power plants shouldn't be put at a disadvantage compared
right.
to
right.
competitors up north. That
right.
is just flat out wrong. It's wrong for business. It's wrong for employees. So I'm pleased the Commerce Commission is opening up this process. I think that's a good move. I think we also have to make our opinion known, and that's beyond just Representative Bourne and myself locally in a bipartisan way. This is going to require businesses weighing in. It's going to require individuals, employees. Everyone has a stake in this, really, at the end of the day.
Right.
So we just have to keep pushing.
And it's concerning for a lot of people, specifically in this immediate area, just because we're wondering if the caffeine plant is going to close on the heels of the mine in Hillsborough being shut down and not knowing whether or not it's going to open. So you have that place not producing anything economically. And now if caffeine, if the power plant were to go down, that would devastate
it. It would be devastating. And I've compared it before on the program here to what we went through in Macoupin County when I was the board chairman,
right,
where we lost three coal mines in about 6 months' time.
Yeah.
And that impact was felt well beyond just my home county and
right,
my hometown. It was felt everywhere. It's a regional issue. So I should also mention that listeners beyond Caffeine and Hillsborough,
right,
this will impact the regional economy. That's why this is so important. At the same time, you know, we shouldn't be handing things out to Dynegy. But I think there's reasonable proposals that they have put on the table that have been afforded to other power plants in the state. We're not asking for anything that hasn't already been given to others. So that's why I think it's important that we approach this as it's an economic issue, it's a quality of life issue, and it makes Illinois more competitive at the end of the day when we produce power here locally and don't import it from other states. And I'm confident that if we continue to do that, we're going to have a positive outcome. But it's going to take a lot of work between now and then.
Sure. And obviously, it's still, we're in the baby stages of it.
Yep.
It's going to be a long time before probably anything gets passed. So hopefully everything progresses the way we hope, and we'll see later on down the road.
Yep.
Thank you very much, Senator Monroe. Was there anything else you wanted to mention while you were here?
No, I don't think so. Again, I will say this. February 14th is an important date, going back to the budget. Mm-hmm. Governor Rauner, this would be his fourth budget that he's proposed mm-hmm. to the legislature. What I've said plainly, and this is not intended to be political, we would like to see a balanced proposal for the first time in 4 years. We haven't seen that from Governor Rauner, and that has led to all kinds of mistrust and all kinds of partisan and bipartisan division, actually, and chaos. The best thing that could happen on February 14th is the governor give us a straight-up balanced budget that's going to be tough. Let's be honest about that. It's going to be a tough view of the situation, but that's what I want to see. We have to make tough choices, which means some things we may not be able to fund next year. We can't overspend. And in order to move the bipartisan agreement forward that was struck this past summer, it's going to require the governor to give us an honest picture of what his opinion is. That's his job. That's what he's by law charged with doing. And then that would lead us on a better path to come up with compromise. That's what I hope we see from Governor Rauner on the 14th.
It's always tough making the budget. I mean, no one likes to make certain cuts or take things away, but at the end of the day, you can't spend money that you don't have.
That's right. You can't. And you have to, you know, we're not going to get out of the rut that we're in by cutting our way out of it. And we're not going to get out of the rut that we're in by just simply raising taxes. It's got to be a combination and a thoughtful, disciplined approach, which means that a lot of people aren't going to be happy. And I say this constantly, whether I'm at a Chamber of Commerce meeting or maybe at a Kiwanis Club meeting. The reason why one of the biggest reasons why we're in such a hole today in the state of Illinois is because for far too many years, a generation of politicians in Springfield told people what they wanted to hear and didn't make tough choices. Mm. This is going to be more tough choices this year. And I think that's what people hired me to do. Not to play to the cheers of the crowd,
right,
but to make thoughtful, difficult decisions that at the end of the day will make Illinois a better place. And that's going to be no different this year. The biggest step in that process is for the governor to give us his honest view of the state's finances on February 14th. If he does that, that's going to be a wonderful first step. Then we can come together and find compromise.
Sure. Absolutely. Again, February 14th, that's when the budget is introduced.
Yeah, the governor introduces his, it's technically called a request.
Okay.
So it's the governor's budget request, mm-hmm. very detailed for every state agency. And then we go through a process of about 8 weeks or so in the Senate and the House of having public hearings, hours and hours. And I chair the budget committee in the Senate. Proud to do that as a downstater, one of the first downstaters in years to do that. That's an important role. It's one that I take seriously. We give the governor a fair shake. But at the same time, we also expect that difficult questions be answered, not to just, you know, pit people against each other, but to get to a better product at the end of the day.
Again, that was State Senator Andy Menar. And that's it for this edition of The Forum on your Tally Broadcasting Stations. I'm David Jenkins. Tune in next time, but until then, so long.